We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. Okay? And so I think about that, and I'm like going, yeah, absolutely, as we go about doing things. A lot of it is our mental attributes, where we put ourselves. Who are we in Christ? Where do we see ourselves? If we see ourselves as nothing, you're probably going to carry out your life as nothing. As you see yourself as empowered by Christ, it's going to impact how you live, or should impact how you live. Learned helplessness. Who's ever heard of this before? Mm-hmm. Okay. In psychology, a mental state in which an organism forced to bear adverse stimuli or stimuli that are painful or otherwise unpleasant becomes unable or unwilling to avoid subsequent encounters with those stimuli, even if they are escapable, presumably because it has learned that it cannot control the situation. Okay, so as we're going through this tonight, my sharing this evening, I'm going to do a short sharing, is about doing it, getting out and doing it. And so how many times do you do something and you get slammed down and you think to yourself, golly, man, that really didn't work out the way I thought it was going to be. And so eventually, especially as a child, if you do this a couple times, you're like going, you almost, it's a training. It's a training that you get. And think of the adversary. Who's the first one to accuse you when you try to step out and do something bold and it doesn't come through the way you thought it was? The accuser's going to come and see, you don't have the power. Who do you think you are? Who are you that you could do this? You failed miserably. You made a fool out of yourself. Okay, and so people start to get this way, and then you become gun-shy, and you start to not engage as much. And it's what I refer to as a learned helplessness. And so the whole objective is to how to learn to break through it. So as I was reading some of these and going through it, there was elephants, they say. They do this with them. As a baby elephant, and they'll take a rope and a stake and they'll put it in the ground with their foot on the rope. And the elephant, baby elephant, learns that it can't escape from that. And as soon as they do that, it only takes a couple months, and then the elephant, you can put anything on it and it won't try to escape because it has that, I can't do it. They could absolutely pull that out. I have seen elephants in Thailand pulling 3 and 4 trees at a time as they're dragging them through the woods. They're extremely strong animals. But they learn it, that they can't do it. So now they're accepting their pinned down nature. Okay, and that's the whole point of this is to break that pinned down nature for the Christian to expand out to become empowered so that you're not helplessness. All right. Champions. Who thinks of themselves as a champion? Most people would say they probably don't, and if they do, they're probably, oh, I do, you know, quietly. You know, type of a deal. And so I always think about this. We all should be and be looking at ourselves this way, but a couple of them I kind of wanted to look at because there are people that are not what a normal person would look at as a champion. Steph Curry, for example, 6'2". Do you know he didn't get to 6'2" until his sophomore year at Davidson? Yeah, incredible. MVP in what, 2015? Absolutely incredible. And a humble man, and came out and said, the reason I was so successful is my hard work. I trained. And the videos you watch of this guy, he would literally take basketball and way back behind the 3-point, shoot it, turn before the ball even went in, shoot it, turn, and he just keep doing this for hours. And you'd watch it and you're like going, you know, he'd miss like 1 out of 10. You're like, golly, this guy's incredible. Incredible. And it was a mindset for him. Here's another one. You guys remember this guy? Mm-hmm. Spud Webb? 5'7". 5'7". Wow. Played in the NBA. Also won national dunking championships against all the other guys who were 7 foot tall. He won. And there are pictures of this guy standing next to him. He looks like a kid. I mean, just absolutely looks like a kid. And he came out, and this guy had an incredible vertical jump. It shows him going up and dunking over the top of these guys who are like 6'10". Right over the top of them, reaching over the top of them and dunking. And I'm like, well, now, in his aspect, he'd look at himself and square himself up with these people. Who am I against this person? You know, who am I? How can I do this? But a champion, I'm looking at him. Why? Because of the mentality. I'm going to go do this. Who would say, you know, I think of that. 5'7" and you're going in the NBA, and everybody would be like going, sorry, you know, just find something else to do, you know. But yeah, incredible, incredible stuff. So let's start off here in First Timothy 4, and we're going to be on page 215 in the New Testament. Okay, so this first scripture that we're doing here with Timothy, this is a letter, basically, and it's encouragement. Encouragement because, yeah, you look at the 5'7" basketball player. Did anybody tell him, dude, you can't play? I'm sure a lot of people did. But there was a few people who told him, you keep doing what you're doing, you will make it, you're going to do fine. All right, somebody want to read this for me? Read it out of the word here with the emphasis, starting in verse 11. Any one of you kids ready to go?
I will.
Okay, who was that? Go ahead, Esther, you can go read. Why don't you read 11 through 13, and then somebody can read 14 and 15. Okay. You're in 16.
Be giving these things, and child, and be teaching. Let no one despise thy youth, but an example become thou of the faithful. In discourse and behavior, discourse and behavior, in love and faith with sincerity. While I am coming, be giving heed to the reading, to the exhorting, to the teaching.
Who wants to read 14 through 16? Go ahead, Melania.
These things...
Yeah, 14.
Oh, 14.
Oh, 14. Oh, that 14. Mm. Be not careless of the gift of favor that is in thee, which was given thee through means of prophesying alone, with laying on of hands of the eldership. These things be thy care, and these things be thou, that thine advancement may be manifest unto all. Be giving heed to thyself and to thy teaching. Abide still in them. For this doing both thyself shalt thou, for this
shalt
thou save. And that hearken to thee.
Excellent. And so again, when you look at this, I think about that with you kids. You kids prophesy. And so if somebody's going to go like, well, these guys, they're, no, you're too young to be doing that. You have the same spirit that I do? The same spirit that other people have? Absolutely. So are you able to do it? Well, is there coming to age where you're too old? You can't do that. Okay, and so that you can't be limited by what people say or categories that people put you in. It's to step out. This is to step out and to break that trend, saying, yeah, I can. Think about that for an adult, that you're going to come up and give an adult a prophecy and tell them something. And they're going to be like going, oh my goodness, how did they know that? Well, it's not you. It's what's in you that you're able to do that. And so do not despise the youth. All right, gift of favor that we saw within there, and power and authority. This is kind of where we're going to be looking at and focusing a lot of our time on here. In Luke 9:1, and calling together the 12, he, Yahushua, gave them power and authority over all demons and to be cursing diseases, and sent them forth to be proclaiming the kingdom of Yahweh and to be healing. All right, flip over to Matthew 10 here. Matthew 10 is going to be on page 9.
Matthew 10. And 1.
Okay, everybody there, who wants to read verse number 1? Okay, go ahead.
And calling near his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over him. Pure spirits, so as to be casting them out and covering every disease and every infirmity.
That's it. Somebody want to read 7 and 8 for me? Skip over to the top of the other column.
I will.
Go ahead. You want to read them? 7 and 8. Why don't you read those two as well?
Yeah.
And as he go, proclaim, saying, the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near. We cure the sick. Raising the dead, cleansing lepers, casting out demons. Freely ye have received, freely give.
That's it. This is it. This is the, we're talking about gift of favor and power and authority. So whose authority are we using to do this? Is it within you? Well, I don't feel like I can do it. Okay? And this is it. So freely if you have received, freely be giving. Power and authority. Let's take a look at this here. Power is the force of energy. So I would say, like, an example would be this. Think of power as like black powder, okay? An energy force, okay? It's got a lot of potential, okay? Authority is implying control or direction, a specific use of the power. So black powder, if you pour it out into a heap and lit it just burns up real quick and it's gone. Nothing really happens. But what happens if you put that into a gun and you point it in a direction and that powder goes off? You are projecting something in a direction. So think of the power is the energy force, and the authority is the direction to channel that power. Okay, that's what we're going to kind of look at. So William Carey, this guy right here, 1761 to 1834, he was one of the missionaries to India. Okay? His father told him he possessed no academic qualifications that would fit him for such a task. And he responded, "I can plod." Who knows the word plod? Who knows what that means?
Etymology?
Yeah, well, go ahead, when he tells me.
I don't know.
Well, it means basically to trot out, a heavy trot out. So in other words, even if it's a labored walk. So it might be, you know, think of walking through a mire or something. You're walking through something that's a lot tougher. And he's like going, "Yeah, well, okay, I can still do it. Might be tougher for me." But when we look at it, we look through the word. Is Yahweh looking for the academics and the scholars? Okay. He's looking for the willingness. Hey, who's got the heart to do this? Who's willing to stand up and say, "I'll do it. I'll do it." Okay? And so this is what he's one of the guys that did that. Went into India, for crying out loud, changed that entire country. One of the men that helped do it. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
They're great.
Mr. Gretzky, absolutely. And so I've always loved that. And because I think about that all the time, and I'm like going, golly. You know, I think about my successes when it comes to faith walk and things that I've done. And I'm like going, all right, good in this aspect. Very good in this aspect. And then I'm like going, dang it, what about this one? And what about that one? And all these times that I missed. I'm like going, but the person who does not step out to do those will miss all of them. And so, Lisette, will you tell your testimony? I love that testimony.
Last week,
Sorry.
Listen,
no, it's an awesome testimony. Awesome testimony.
Like the first time I showed up to... Okay, she's going to give me a share. Thank you. I thought I was going to be in a man. Okay, so last week we had a teaching about hope, and I had a doctor's appointment, which I went on the wrong day. So I had 2 hours to spare. I was driving, and I was going to go to the mall, but something told me, okay, you just got to drive back to work. So my way back to work, I was driving, and I seen this man on a wheelchair on the street. He was waiting for the bus or something like that. There was a lot of construction, so I felt like I had to pray for this man because of the teaching we had about hope. I felt like he needed hope. And so I told myself, okay, I'm going to pray for him on my car as I drive to work. And there was this thing, and it was Yahweh talking to me, telling me, no, you have to go back and talk to him. You got to pray to him. So I said, okay, can I speak tongues? I'm not really comfortable with that. Can I do that in my car instead? Would that make it up? And he kept telling me, no, you have to go back and talk to him. So I kept saying, okay, if this is what you want me to do, give me like a red light if you don't want me to. There's a lot of construction. Well, I went back, stepped out of my car, prayed for him. This was the first time I did that. For a stranger. I really didn't want to do it, but I did it. He was really thankful. He said that was the hope he needed, and I felt really good about it. I felt like I was obedient, and I'm really thankful for you guys because thanks to you, I was able to do that. I would have never done that before, and it was great. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. No, I was, I heard that and I'm like going, Callie, that's exactly taking a shot. So you show up and what's a guy who's been like going, who are you? Get away from me. You were walking in faith and you were obedient and Yahweh sees that and he saw your obedience to do that and you'll be blessed for it. And guess what? Look at this. Here's somebody who's willing to do this. So I'll get called for something else for another time. I'll get called because guess what? Everybody gets those and we all go through that same thing where you're like going, really? You know, really? And I think of, you know, well, put out the rug and if it's wet in here tomorrow and everything, you know. No, Yahweh's calling you to do it. You're like, well, when you walk out and do those things in faith, wonderful things. And you could have changed this guy's life or something like that impacted him for the rest of his life. So great job. Great job. That's a shot. Take the shot. Yahweh accomplishes mighty things through what? Through us. Through us. Those willing to stand in the gap. Those willing to persevere, okay? So even though you take the shot and you miss, and you take the shot and you miss, and it's over and over and over again, you're like going, you know what? I'm learning that basically I'm not good at this. I'm not good at this. I need to just stop. I need to just stop. And you're like going, yeah, I was like going, no. Stay in it. I see what you're doing. The willing to plod faithfully through one difficulty after another, and the faith and the power and authority has been given them. And so what's been given to us that authority. Second Chronicles, remember I did a teaching about this a while back ago, and it was Yahweh. His eyes are ever running to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong with them who are perfect, which is a loyal heart towards himself. Yahweh wants to do this. He's looking for people who says, pick me, choose me, I'll do this for you, I'll do it, I'll stand there. Lissette, you did. Yeah. You did. And so this is great. This is exactly the way it would need to be. Think of it this way. I'm going to kind of transition to something, and it's not probably would be frowned on by most churches on the way people would look at. But think of this as a commander versus a beggar type of a mentality. Be doing instead of be praying. Okay? And so for you, what you want to do? You wanted to pray in your car for him, didn't you?
Yeah.
And what Yahweh tell you to do? Say, go do this. Go do this. You go make that contact. Go do it. And you did. You did. And so when we're looking at this, what's that? Yehoshua said. He didn't say, be praying for curing, be praying for raising, be praying for casting out. He said, be doing it. Now, how can he tell me or tell that, instruct people to do that if they cannot do it? Okay, boy, that would be like, hey, kid, go out there and fix my transmission.
Yeah.
Dad, I'm 6 years old. You know? Yeah, well, there you go, kid. No, he's given you. So he tells you to do it. If he tells you to do it, he's empowered you. And so the person who looks at that and says, well, I don't feel like I can do it, but he says I can. So why? All right, I'll do it. I'll go do it. And if I take that shot and I miss, Yahweh, show me what I need to do next time. Because I've done that. I've been there where I've taken those shots. It failed miserably, and I walked away going, golly, was that a waste of my time? You know, I feel like a fool because now people are looking at me like going, yeah, dude, and didn't work out the way you just spoke. And I'm like going, all right, but it didn't benefit me any. Didn't benefit me at all to do that, but it benefited Yahweh for to stand out. It's not my power or authority, but what has been freely given to me. It's authorized usage, okay? So it's not to where you can be like, you know, Yahweh, make the lights all green for me on my way to work. Make it stop for them. Make this guy get hit by somebody because he's being a real turd on the road, okay? No, that's not authorized usage. What Yehoshua has told us to do, we can do, okay? Authorized usage. So the power being, if you will, the black powder, and the authority is the direction for it to be used, okay? The direction for it to be used. The direction is to do these things, to go do what Yehoshua said. Imagine a spark that ignites the power and the authority. So it's all laid out there for you. Okay? All laid out there for you, but it takes a step. It took you to step out of your car. Okay? It takes a step for somebody to make that black powder, put it in the rifle, does nothing. Does nothing. Okay? I've been carrying around in my gun for a few years now. when I my concealed carry, and nothing happens. Okay, nothing happens with that. It takes the spark. It takes that spark and that initiative. So the spark lights it. This is what we're talking about. It takes the action where you have to stand out. You know, step out of the boat or take the action of yourself. Flip over to Matthew 21, just a few pages over. Okay, it's going to be 21, 8 through 9. So everybody gets there. Any kids want to read this for me? Okay. Let Elijah go ahead. You can read 8 and 9 for me.
And the chief multitude spread their own mantles in the way, and the others were cutting off the young branches from the trees and spreading them in the way, and the multitudes, they who were going before him and they who were following after, were crying aloud, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that coming out of the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
That's it. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. This is Christ coming into Jerusalem, okay? The people threw down their, it's not the covering over the top of the fireplace, this is their coats, their coverings. Took off their coverings and put branches down. Okay? Now think about this in this way. The donkey walking through there going, what's all the fanfare for? Okay? What am I supposed to be doing something? Is this me? What's the big portal? I'm the one walking on this. Okay? But what is he carrying? What's a donkey carrying? He's carrying Christ. He's carrying Christ. And so when we go out and we look at this, we think of ourselves as the donkey walking through. What's the big deal? Why are people, you know, it's not me. It's not me. You're right. It's not you. It's not you. It's the Christ that is within you. That's what's doing this. This is where it's coming from. So when we go in and people are like going, limit myself. Well, this is the donkey carrying Christ into Jerusalem. Okay? Does he have anything? No. But he's taking Christ. Same way that when we go out and about, we are taking Christ. And so it's not us. When people are like going, well, who am I? Or when somebody looks at you, who are you? Okay, well, I said, think about that to the donkey. Who are you? Well, I'm the person hauling this guy. Pretty important dude right now. Okay, so this is where we have to look at it. Same thing for us. When we go out, we are carrying Christ. We are taking Christ with us. And so it's not the perception that other people see. It's not what you feel. It's what you are carrying. Okay? So we're going to follow this up here one more here. Maybe. Let's go to Acts 5. Flip over to the right a few pages. Acts 5 is going to be on page about 124-ish. 15. Esther, I'll let you read this one here.
Okay.
Okay, once everybody gets there. Okay, page 134, we're going to be reading 15 and 16.
Okay.
Okay, now this is the same thing. Okay, because when Christ was coming in, they laid this down as a huge celebration, a ceremony for that as the donkey comes in, the donkey and the colt come in with Christ. Okay, so this is Peter. So go ahead, read 15 and 16 for me if you would.
So not even to the broad ways, for they bring forth the sick and lay them on small couches and beds, in order that if Peter were coming along, even Prince, his saddle might overshadow some one of them. Moreover, even the throne of the cities all around Jerusalem was coming together, bearing sick folk, and such as were harassed by impure spirits, who indeed were being cured, one and all.
That's it. That's it. So these people saw Peter, and they knew Peter, and they were lining up for Peter. And it wasn't Peter, it's what Peter is carrying. It's what he's carrying. And it's the same thing. Peter has the same spirit that you have, okay, that we all have. This is the same spirit. Now, Peter's walking out, and he's doing a lot of these things. He was a doer. He got out there and got on the ball and took many, many shots, okay? And he was pretty good. The guy could score. He was good. But with this, the people saw him, and that's why they came out. Now, when they see you initially, they may not see that. They're going to judge you for what they see, okay? But you are still carrying the same thing. There's really no difference. There's not. power and authority. Isaiah, flip over to there. Page 680-ish.
There is a book of Eli.
Oh, sorry. It's a good movie. 45, 11, and 12. Who hasn't read yet?
Excuse me.
Milan, you want to read this one? 45, 11, and 12.
Oh, I'm still looking for page.
Okay, it's on page 690. Oh. Anybody else already there? Everybody still flipping? You there? Okay. Okay, 11 and 12 there, sweetheart.
Thus saith Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, and his fashioner, as to things to come, they have asked me concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, they would command me. I made the earth, and man upon it I created. I, mine own hands, stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts I commanded.
Okay, now, they would command me. Okay, most churches would say blasphemy. You are going to command Yahweh. Now, don't look at this as us commanding Yahweh. Look at this as that we are speaking what Yahweh's given to us. Okay, think of it this way. Think of it as power. Okay, I don't create electricity. Okay, I don't. Electricity is made and it is coming into my house. And all I have to do is walk over to the light switch and flip it. Did I create power? No. Is power there? If I don't flip the switch, no power comes out. Okay? Now, do I call the power company and say, hey, I'm coming home, it's going to be really dark. Will you turn my switch on for me, please? They'd be like going, what? Okay? No. No. But the power's here. It is right there. It is channeled here. If I want to plug something into it, I can and use the power. It is there. It is accessible. So when we do this, Yahweh's saying, look, I've given it to you. I have given you the power. I've given you the authority. And all you have to do is access it. That's the spark. You've got to make that step. It's not your power. It's not your authority. But when you flip the switch, you will start to access it. And you have to do that. And so for us, you know, I look at, you know, Peter stepping out of the boat. Well, everybody could stand in the boat going, yeah, you can do it. Yeah, sure, sure, we saw it being done. One person did it, okay? And so flipping the switch going, you know, I think to myself, I wouldn't have been one of those guys to get out and be like going, I know, dude, I don't swim real well, okay? I'm going to sink. Here's what's going to happen if I step out of the boat. We just saw, you know, a storm and we're terrified. Now I'm going to walk out. This is accessing and tapping into the power. And this is exactly what we're referring to. And this is it. If the switch, it's the flick of a switch, if you will, the electricity, it's all there. We don't see it. You don't see the electricity. You know, though, we're so accustomed. This is a learned non-helplessness that when you go to the switch and you flick it, something's going to happen. Okay? The same way that we need to be when it comes to accessing the power and the authority that Yahweh's given us through Christ. That when we flip that switch, we should be expecting it. And when it doesn't come on, we should be call a power company.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, Yahweh, what do I need to do? What did I miss? Is there something going on? Is something else happening? What's happening? But okay, I took a shot, I missed. Check in with the boss. Hey, power company, what's happening? Why is there no power here? What did I miss? And this is exactly how we have to do to change our perception. Flip to Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 19 through 22.
That elephant with the chain tied to it, that's the church today with manifestation.
Yeah, absolutely.
If anybody talk about 1 Corinthians 14, they're going to say, you can't break that.
Yeah, don't do it.
Elephant, you can break it anytime you want. No, yeah. We're going
to
raise this.
That's exactly right. And it's all you have to do is just, you know, it takes nothing to do it. And there it is. You're like going, oh, yeah, here it is. Yeah, that's exactly right. And so it's a learned helplessness, but it becomes that way with everybody because the adversary knows your weaknesses. He knows what your weaknesses are and how to play upon those weaknesses. And so we have to constantly battle, and we're fighting back against that. We're fighting it so that we can energize the power, but if something doesn't go right, the accuser's there to... just what I thought would happen. You knew you couldn't do it. And then you start feeling like you're right. And now to be gun-shy, you know, you think about this. You go somewhere, and Yahweh tells you, go out and speak to this person. And you go out to speak to this person, and the person just verbally chews you up one side down the other, and you're like, going, whoa! Okay. So I leave going, all right, I just caused a big ruckus. And yeah, people here are all looking at me like going, who the heck does this dude think he is, you know? And so, yeah, you walk away going, all right, well, yeah, well, I sure thought that was you telling me to do this, okay? And so possibly, yes, maybe there was something missed. We check back in with the boss. What happened, man? I flipped the switch, and I did not get what I thought, okay? Light bulb blew up. All right, who hasn't read here yet? Anybody? Who's next? Go ahead. Somebody, Elijah, why don't you read 19 through 22 for me?
And with the surpassing greatness of his power unto us who believe, according to the energy of the grasp of his might, which he energized in the Christ, he raised him from among the dead and seated him in his right hand of in the heavenliness, over above all principality, authority, power, and lordship, and every name that is named, not only in his age, but also in the coming one, and did put all things in subjection beneath his feet, and gave him to the head over all things unto the assembly.
That's it. That's it. Now this is Christ. This is what it is. And we are the hands and the feet. And see, this is another misconception of the law of the church. The law of the church does not believe that we are the hands and the feet, that we are the body. That's what tells us that we're the body, that we've been seated with, that we were crucified with, for crying out loud, that we are part of this. Therefore, we are fellow heirs. We are fellow heirs of this. Christ, again, is not going to tell you to go do something that you cannot do. And so by virtue of that, we've got the power. And so by accessing it and retraining our minds and getting out of that learned helplessness, that we are powerless to step out and start accessing the power, to start pulling it in. All right. Locked up. Here we are. Okay, so here's where we're going to go. We're going to kind of finish out on here. Tap in so you may force the adversary to tap out. Okay? By virtue of this, the adversary, we have the power and authority over the adversary. So that where we read that those that were plagued by the unclean spirits, okay, they were cast out. They were cast out. How? How were they cast out? Remember, the apostles would say that he has, who is this that has power over that? Because nobody can see that. You can't see it. And so to be able to speak this and to make this happen, Yahweh spoke. And things came into being. He spoke, and these things took place. Yahweh tells to us, speak. Speak. Open your mouth and speak, because there is power. And a lot of times the speaking is that switch. It's flipping it. That's the tapping in. By speaking, by opening your mouth, by doing the things that he's told you to do. So I don't feel like I can heal this person. What if I go to this person and try to heal them, and it fails? You've been there,
yeah.
Okay? So, well, guess what? Again, back to Wayne Gretzky. Don't make the shot, you won't ever make a goal, okay? And so, guess what? If your entire life you had one goal and shot 1,000 times, you still put one in the goal, okay? And you walked away. You walked away being able to do that. So tap in to push the adversary out, to get rid of the adversary. No amount of anxiety can change the future. If we're looking at our future and we become oppressed by what we think is happening, it enslaves us. Think of the elephant putting the chain. The elephant, after he gets done with the circus, walks back over to the stake, you know, and puts his foot around the chain to try to lock himself back up, because he's used to that. I would rather be enslaved than to be empowered. And how much of the body of Christ is doing that without even realizing that this is what you're doing? Same thing. No amount of regret can change the past. Your past is the past, and if we live in it, we, you know, you always think about that somebody who is consumed with what the future is and horrified by what the past is missed everything that's going by right now. And there's no living for now. And this is where I say, don't let either of those. Let them both go and be walking in faith, that you may hear from Yahweh and be living for today. Have faith of Yahweh. Okay? Have faith of Yahweh. Think about that. You're like going, easier said than done. But guess what? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to have that faith, that we can energize it. Yahweh's given it to us. He's like going, for crying out loud, hit the switch, dude. Hit the switch. click it that I may be able to show myself strong, because you're not showing yourself strong. You're showing Yahweh strong. You're showing Christ being able to do these things. We're more than conquerors. And I can do all things through Christ who empowereth me. Okay, last one here. Because no declaration from Yahweh shall be void of power. Okay, and this is it. No declaration from Yahweh shall be void of power. It's given. It's given. And Yahweh's declared, go do these. Go do these things and stand out. Every time that somebody does, even if they fail, okay, Yahweh is tickled pink and blessed that somebody stood out, walked out of the boat, stood in the gap to do this. And if they're ready to go do it again, wow, great. You know, it's a little football kid, you see, who gets up there on the line and they snap the ball and he just gets mowed over by somebody who's way bigger than him. And he runs right back out the line and gets his position and gets smacked again. And every single down, this is what's happening. And the kid comes back to the line. I'm going to learn and I'm going to get this and I'm going to get it right. And I might be small now, but I'm going to keep doing this. And you look at Spud, okay, 5'7" and is jamming a basketball and winning these things. So anyways, that's all I had here for it. Well, I'll go ahead and close with the prayer and I'll have a word for those that are watching. Yahweh, we thank you for your words. We thank you for everything that you've given to us. We thank you for the power and the authority that we're able to speak these things, Yahweh. And we thank you, Christ, for the high price that you paid that we're able to do these things. That we come before you and in repentance for those things that we have failed, that we wash our sins away daily as you've told us to do, that we can be purified by what you paid for, Christ, that we are able to have the authority of your name and walk out and do all these things that you've told us. So we are a peculiar people, that we are not of this world, but we are in this world. And therefore, as we know what our positions are and where our seating is, that in the meantime, that we're in a transit, if you will, that we are carrying out your missions and your desires. And we thank you for this, Yahweh, that you stir within us continually. And even if, as we miss the opportunities, that you continually stir within us, that we may be energized to do the things that you call us to do, and that we step out to make these things take place and work miraculous things and exercise great faith. And we just thank you for that, Yahweh, for the words that you have and speak to all of us. We just thank you for this and for all these believers, and we say this all through your Son's name, Christ Jesus. My sons and daughters, make sure that you are walking in the things that I have called you to do. For many are bogged down with the cares and the worries of this world and the things that will sidetrack you and pull you over. And as your eyes dance to and fro, they come off of me and they come off the prize. And so I call for you to stay focused and keep your vision acute within the things that I've given and not with the things of this world. For the things of this world will ensnare you, but the things of me will entreasure you. They will give you great bounty and great purpose, and you will be doing blessings for those. For of all those things that you do, that you are building, you're building wonderful things in my name and speaking great things of my Son that has gone before you, that was the second Adam that paid that price, that all things were changed, all things were new from that day. So walk out knowing that you are part of this, that you are inheritors, and that as you are walking in my words and my ways, that I will give you the strength, that I will give you the guidance and the perseverance, even when you are exhausted and feel you cannot continue, that I will be that soft voice, that urging behind you, telling you that to keep going one more, you can keep going. So speak these things and come to me that I may be able to counsel and fulfill and comfort you as you are in these walks.